And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. You know, it's been my experience over the quarter of a century, the life of Power of Prophecy Ministries, that there are some things that, well, some folks don't want me to say. And they don't want you to say them either. There are certain, I just call them thought crime police, who want you to keep your mouth shut. And it seems like many of these people are part of the Jewish global network that is monitoring everything we say in the internet and speeches given various locales. And of course, they've got billions of dollars to be busy bodies and nannies and thought crime police. I've got a guest. I'm going to introduce him in just a minute. But at first, I thought I'd start with a quote from one of my favorite books, 1984, by George Orwell. By the way, you know, in my book, Big Sister is Watching You, I noted, because, and I quoted her, Hillary Rodham Clinton, who said that Orwell's book is her very favorite. She was asked by Barbara Walters what would be her best, the all-time best books that influenced her life, and she said Orwell's 84, and the second one was Aldous Huxley's Brave New World. I think she would like to put us in an Orwellian world, but that's another story. But, you know, in the book, there's a nice quote. I say nice, I mean pungent and poignant as well. Winston was the, you know, the guy in there. I don't know if you'd call him the hero or not, but to me, he was sort of a hero because he fought against Big Brother. Winston was his name. They just called him Winston. And it was against the law to write things down and keep a record. Couldn't even keep a diary or a journal because, you know, Big Brother was constantly changing history and old history would go down a black hole. And nothing in writing could be kept. So you couldn't keep old newspaper clippings and all of that. That was against the law. Sort of what's going on with the computer world today, you know, when they don't want you to know something, they just erase it from YouTube or Google Video or, you know, Google search engine. It never existed. Never happened. Here's what Winston wrote in his journal, and he was very brave to do so because he knew that if the thought crime police, Big Brother's thought crime police, found his journal that he was writing in, they would send him off to prison or worse. But here's what he said. He said, and this is when he began his journal, and he addressed it, sort of dedicated his journal to others. Here's what he said. He said, to the future or to the past, to a time when thought is free, to a time when truth exists and what is done cannot be undone. From the age of Big Brother, from the age of doublethink, greetings. Greetings. My friend, sometimes I feel that I could write this in my personal journal if I had such. Well, the gentleman that we have as a guest today is Ted Pike. And I don't know if he keeps a journal or not. I'd like to ask him, but I'm sure there would be a lot of interesting things in it because he's an interesting man. He's the author of a great book that we're going to offer a little bit later in the program called Israel, Our Duty, Our Dilemma, and a video as well. But he's done many videos. We offered his very, very wonderful video about hate crimes. And he studied everything from the Middle East wars and the Middle East political situation, but particularly in the United States. Ted Pike, he is a Christian minister. And he's a fighter. He's a warrior. He's head of a group called the National Prayer Network. And we're going to give you his website address a little later in the program here, because you'll want to go on his website and order some of his resources. We have, in fact, we picked up, and it's now on the homepage of powerofprophecy.com, his newest, I call it a missile, that's M-I-S-S-A-L, although it could be spelled the other way, like a rocket, because he sends those out, and they're always quite good, and they're really to the point. And the one he just sent out is about a woman named Helen Thomas, but we'll ask about that. So we'll go right away to Ted Pike and welcome him to Power of Prophecy.
Well, thanks for having me on, Tex. I admire everything you're doing so much.
Well, I don't know. Do you keep a journal, Ted, of these things?
Well, what I do is I just string these up on my on the archives of our website, fellows.org, and we have literally hundreds now of these articles written over the course of the past 6 years, really, since we've been on the Internet, really documenting, as you say, fighting against hate crimes laws and fighting against injustice in the Middle East and progress of the Zionists in basically ruining and destroying Christian civilization.
Do you allow folks to take your articles like we did and send them to friends and such, as long as they give you credit?
Yeah, absolutely. None of my articles at Truth Tellers are copyrighted, and people don't even need to contact me. They're free. They're ready to send out. In fact, just this latest article I sent out for this week about Helen Thomas, more than 50 blogs and websites have actually put up that article. So whenever something goes out from Truth Tellers, there are lots of people who proliferate it throughout the world.
All right. Now, why don't we start off right away, because I know that my audience, you know, they're very perceptive, very insightful folks, good discernment, and they'll want to go on your website and see some of the things you've got. Would you mind going ahead and giving us your website? And I think you have two addresses, don't you?
Well, the primary website is www.truthtellers.org, not .com, but truthtellers, plural, truthtellers.org.
Truthtellers.org, okay.
Yes, that's the main watering hole, really, for the whole hate crimes educational movement. We are the primary authoritative educational resource in the whole world on the Internet, educating people about the dangers of hate crimes legislation and their twisted attempts to take away freedom.
Well, I know, you know, you've done some magnificent things, and let me just say this. I believe that although they have passed some sort of weakened hate crimes legislation, it would have been a lot worse had you not been out there. And I know you've ginned up sometimes thousands and thousands of phone calls that almost melted the phone lines of the congressman. And you've stopped a lot of bad legislation, because obviously there are groups. And let me say right up front, and I know you're a very courageous man, and you encourage the truth, but it's mostly Jewish groups, isn't it, that are opposed to freedom of speech and want to bridle us.
Yeah. The whole idea of hate crimes or thought crimes legislation comes from the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith. Now, B'nai B'rith is a huge international Jewish supremacist organization. It describes itself as the voice of organized world Jewry. It has presences in 55 nations of the world and lodges and chapters in all of those nations. And B'nai B'rith was founded in 1850 in New York City, but in 1913, the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith was created ostensibly to end anti-Semitism in America. But over the last, nearly the last century, ADL has proven that it wants to do more than end vulgar anti-Semitism. It wants to end all criticism of matters Jewish in the world, particularly Jewish control of media, of Congress, of the financial institutions, and especially of the State of Israel. The ADL is the established PR representative for the State of Israel in the world. But over the last 20 years, in fact, I can give you the exact date. In 1989, the ADL held a special conference to present awards for a national competition to develop a model anti-hate law for America. And this model anti-hate law was, the winner of it was a Jewish law student from California by the name of Joseph Ribicoff. And in his proposal, he recommended that any Christian conservative organization that shows even a video critical of homosexuality, the leaders should be not only fined but possibly imprisoned, and all the members of that organization should also be indicted as hate criminals. And that won first prize at the Hofstra University Awards banquet in 1989 as ADL kicked off its agenda for hate crimes laws in America. Then over the next 10 years, during the 1990s, ADL persuaded 45 U.S. states to adopt some version of that model anti-hate law. But the big apple at the top of the tree was their dream of having a federal hate crimes law, which would give the federal government the rights to come down anytime it wanted to, disregarding states' rights and law enforcement, and indict, prosecute so-called hate criminals in America. And tragically, after fighting that federal hate crimes law for 10 years at least, it was passed by the Senate last year and was signed into law by the president. So the Matthew Shepard Hate Crimes Prevention Act is now the law of the land in America. But we are still doing our very best at truthtellers.org to sound the alarm and continue such a level of public awareness and opposition to hate laws enforcement in America that we can dampen the enthusiasm of the ADL and the U.S. Justice Department and President Obama to really enforce hate laws as they have been enforced in other hate law countries.
Okay, now let me ask you a key question here. First of all, you say that the ADL, and Mr. Abe Foxman is the director there, and it's a multi-million dollar group, no doubt about it, with tens of millions of dollars to use against the forces of Christianity, right?
They have a budget of $60 million a year to fight Christianity and promote homosexuality and hate laws.
And I suppose you do not have a budget of $60 million a year, Ted, and I'm you know, tongue-in-cheek on that.
I'm a poor preacher, John the Baptist type, you know, a lone wolf out here.
Lone out in the wearing animal skins and eating honey. I have the same feeling. But, you know, it's a lot of fun out here in the wilderness sometimes. You're very much blessed. But let's go to the ADL and Mr. Foxman, though. Now, you say that they have advertised themselves as the sort of the world spokesman of Jewry, of the Jews. And so they're in defense of the interest of Jews, and that would be of Israel as well. Well, where does the homosexuality come in? Where does homosexuality connect up with Jewry, with the Jews?
Well, you see, Foxman, by the way, Foxman is an Orthodox Jew. Some have described him as a secularist Jew or a liberal Jew or whatever, but in his book that he came out with about 4 years ago, it's called Never Again, The Threat of the New Anti-Semitism, Foxman describes how that back in the 1980s he was a member of an Orthodox congregation in Teaneck, New Jersey, but he became so disgusted with the Orthodox congregation he was in that he quit it. He abandoned that particular congregation because they weren't praying for the state of Israel as passionately as he thought they should. But he makes it very clear that he's an Orthodox Jew. He's waiting for the Messiah to come. He wants to get lots of Jewish kids going off to Israel to rebuild their appreciation of Jewish culture and so on, and he wants to encourage them to study the Talmud and the Kabbalah, all of that kind of thing. A very passionate Orthodox Jew, but at the same time, as you are saying, he is unrivaled, the ADL is unrivaled in its promotion of homosexuality in America, not to mention pornography and many other perversions. And the question is, why? Why does this Orthodox Jew and this Jewish organization, Jewish religious, educational, and fraternal organization, why are they promoting homosexuality, same-sex marriages, and all this kind of thing? The answer is very simple. Foxman is a devotee of Kabbalistic Orthodox Judaism, which says that it is necessary for the Goyim, the Gentiles, Christian civilization to be destroyed and subverted and broken down in order for Judaism to attain its ultimate goal, which is world domination under the leadership of its Messiah, which we know to be the Antichrist. So behind the scenes and all of this promotion of Christian persecuting hate laws and pro-homosexual hate laws and so on is an agenda to break down Christian capitalist civilization so that a Judaic New World Order can be established.
Yeah, you know, it's been my experience also, Pastor Ted, if I might say so, that among Jewish rabbis, and particularly the, you know, the Hasidic, the Orthodox, the Lubavitchers and all that, that homosexuality is very, very rampant in all of those groups, which I can understand. You know, they've been turned over to a reprobate mind because of their hatred of Jesus and Christianity. And so then these evil spirits, and I believe that's what they are, of homosexuality make their, you know, abode in the lives and in the bodies of these Jews. And that's just a fact of life. You know, the same thing goes for sex trafficking, prostitution, gambling, you know, everything. I mean, let's face it, Las Vegas was basically a Jewish preserve. And the same thing goes for all of these hideous crimes. You know, L.A., of course, the Jews there, that is the capital of the pornographic internet and the movies industry, the X-rated movies, and all of which is a Jewish, almost exclusively a Jewish enterprise. So maybe the homosexuality goes along with the overall just horrible cesspool and immorality that is Talmudic and Kabbalistic Judaism. Do you think I'm overstating that?
Well, the truth is that pedophilia, the right to seduce 3-year-old baby girls, is very well established in the Talmud. In fact, the earliest rabbis of the Talmud, Yohanan ben Zakkai, Rabbi Akiba, Simeon ben Yochai, some of the earliest and the most influential of all the great Talmudic sages were all pedophiles. And I have written a definitive article, which is available at Truth Tellers. It's called Pedophilia, the Talmud's Dirty Secret.
Mm.
People can access that by just going to truthtellers.org and Googling that and going back on our archives. It's a definitive article, which has been very, very widely received. But in that article, I actually have 4 or 5 pages, that's the Xerox pages of the Talmud, attached, in which I absolutely prove that these rabbis were child molesters and sanctioning the rape and actually the marriage to 3-year-old baby girls as is normal. In regard to homosexuality, the Talmud is a little bit less specific. It says that a boy, a boy of 11 years of age, I believe it is, sex with him by a woman is not considered a sexual act, is morally neutral. And when he has sex with her, 11-year-old boy has sex with a woman, it's just like she has a scratch, it's of no moral consequence. What that does is it basically lays down a premise within a rabbinic Judaism that sex with minors is not morally binding. It doesn't make you culpable of the way sex with an adult would do. It's a tangle. The Talmud is a tangle of all kinds of perverse precepts and recommendations, which, to a large extent, are given blessing as binding Jewish law. Now, how this translates to the present is that in Israel especially, in New York especially, where you have high concentrations of Jews who literally worship the Talmud, worship every precept and jot and tittle of the Talmud, that means that you're going to have a very high incidence of molestation of children, both male and female. And that's there's hardly a week goes by out of the Jewish news services and so on that we don't come upon some new rabbi who's being charged with a sex crime of molesting little boys or girls. And in Israel especially, the rate of child molestation is absolutely astronomical, particularly among the Haredim, or the ultra-Orthodox Jews in Israel, who really take the Talmud seriously. And you see, they are not at all embarrassed about the Talmud's endorsement of child sex. They consider it halakha, or binding Jewish law. And so this is becoming an increasing embarrassment to the state of Israel as the ultra-Orthodox movement gets stronger and stronger, is that these Orthodox rabbis are not only more bold in actually practicing this kind of thing, but are actually encouraging the people covertly to do that. In fact, one of the very greatest rabbis in Israel, I forget his name, but there's been a tremendous amount of press and controversy in Israel. Almost the Billy Graham of Orthodox Judaism and the rabbi is now under indictment. He's been under indictment and arrested indictment for the last 6 or 8 months for multiple cases of abuse of children behind the scenes.
Wow. You know, the whole thing there, and I know the president, not the prime minister, but they also have an official known as the president, who's sort of like our vice president, actually, going around and doing ribbon cutting and such. He's also been indicted, I understand, for sex charges. And at the yeshivas, the religious schools and the kibbutzes, again, we have just a horrible, disproportionate amount of pedophilia, incest, and all kinds of things, which here again, we have a culture that went after mammon and totally rejected Jesus 2,000 years ago, and now we've progressed in ultimate evil for 2 millennia, and this is what we have across the world today.
You know, Jesus accused the Pharisees. He said that they were guilty of all uncleanness.
Mm.
What all uncleanness means is not just fornication, not just adultery, but actually hidden types of sins of the most perverse nature.
Wow. There must have been a real meaning then when the Pharisees sought to stone the woman caught in adultery, and Jesus said, let the person here who is without sin cast the first stone. I've always thought that when Jesus bent over there and wrote something in the sand before he said that, that whatever it was something that every one of those Pharisees with rocks, stones in their hand, ready to throw and kill the woman, was probably the sins that they had committed, perpetrated.
That's
perhaps.
Right. You know, Tex, Rabbi Hillel was a contemporary of Jesus in the first century, and he laid down as Jewish law, halakha, or binding Jewish law, that if a woman has sex with an animal, she's still entitled to marry the high priest.
I do remember that. And there's also a necrophilia, too. It's okay to have sex with a dead person.
Sure.
That's in the Talmud.
All of these really, really off-the-wall perversions in Judaism came from the 1600 years that the Jews were in Babylon. In the 6th century B.C., of course, Nebuchadnezzar took the southern kingdom of Judah into Babylon. Most people don't realize that they were there for 1,600 years, which is actually at least 100 years longer than they had been in Palestine.
Hmm.
In Babylon, which was the cesspool of antiquity, moral cesspool of antiquity, the Jews absorbed a tremendous amount of every despicable perversion. And as a result of that, they incorporated this kind of stuff, this filth, into the Talmud, which was preserved for all generations of Jewry.
Boy, so Judaism is basically, even the Talmud itself is called the Babylonian Talmud, right?
Absolutely. In fact, there is no other system in the world today, religious, political, economic system, that is more quintessentially Babylonian than modern that the Babylonian Talmud and modern Jewry, and that's why I make the claim, I've made the thesis, that Israel is Babylon the Great. It is the great harlot of Revelation and the continuation of the archetypal harlot of the Old Testament, which is described no less than 83 times in the Old Testament in specific terms.
You know, a Hindu convert to Christianity wrote me an email about 2 years ago, and he said, "Dear Tex," he said, "when I was a Hindu at an ashram, you know, which is like a temple, in northern India," he said, "we had many Jewish Americans come over, and they worshipped the Hindu gurus and all, but they kept their Judaism." And he said, he was, by the way, this guy is Indian now. He's living in America. But he said, "Do you know, Tex, the interesting thing about it is we talked in the ashram where we lived with these guys for several months, these Jewish Americans who were coming over here to learn about the glories of the Hindu gods and goddesses, you know. And I asked him, how is it you could stay a Jew with Judaism and yet here you're coming over here practicing our Hinduism?" And he said, "They all told me, well, our Kabbalah is the same as the Hindu religion. We have gods and goddesses.
Absolutely.
we have multiple deities. In fact," said one of the Jewish Americans told me, "our Sephirah, you know, our tree of life, has 10 different deities, and they have all kind of variations. So we believe in many multiple gods and goddesses." And of course, you know, that set me to studying the whole Kabbalah, Pastor Ted, because, you know, the Jews claim we have but one God. But it turns out they have multiple gods and goddesses, in their little secrets of Kabbalah. Well, okay. And that's what you've evidently discovered too, the hideous, sexual, things hidden, in the Judaic religion. Let's talk about somebody that's been in the news lately. Somebody that evidently Abe Foxman does not much appreciate. And we only have about 2 minutes, but we're going to talk about her on the other side too. But maybe we could get a running start here. Miss Helen Thomas. Now you seem to sort of appreciate some of the heroism of Miss Thomas. Tell us a little bit about the controversy with the dean or deaness, whatever it would be, of the Washington Press Corps, the reporter of Hearst Newspapers, Helen Thomas.
Yes, well, last May, I believe it was, Helen Thomas was caught on camera making a statement that the nation of Israel should be disbanded, the Jews should go back to the countries of their dispersion. And this created a tremendous firestorm of controversy. She was fired from Hearst as a columnist for Hearst Newspapers. She was denounced by the ADL and the President of the United States and everybody for her so-called anti-Semitism. When that happened, I wrote an article. I sent it out, and I pointed out that Helen Thomas's view that the nation of reprobate and anti-Christian Jews had no business in God's holy land was nothing but biblical doctrine, biblical dogma set down in the Mosaic law of the Jews themselves, where God says in more than two dozen very clear statements, he says the Jews as a nation cannot enter Palestine and abide there in rebellion. And if they're in rebellion and they're in his holy land, he's going to drive them out. That is foundational Old Testament biblical law. And that was enough of a firestorm back then. We thought we were done with Helen Thomas. She actually apologized for her statement. But just last week, again, at a meeting of a Muslim Arab Association in Dearborn, Michigan, she came out with a number of new statements reinvigorating her accusations and the controversy about her.
Okay, when we come back, we're going to have to take a little break here. When we do, I want to know more about what Helen Thomas said and how Abe Foxman responded, okay?
You bet.
All right. My guest today is Reverend Ted Pike, head of the National Prayer Network, truthtellers.org. Many, many great articles, resources for you. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Pastor Ted Pike. You're listening to Tex Mars and Power of Prophecy. Israel, our duty, our dilemma. Fantastic. 318-page book by Ted Pike, my guest today. Hey, if you think he's told you a lot about the Jews, these Jewish lobby organizations, and their threat against the First Amendment today, this book will tell you everything you want to know about Israel, period. He reveals in this book, Pastor Ted Pike, the real Judaism and the real Israel. He exposes the Talmud. He'll show you, you know, you might say verse by verse, the horrors of this most holy book. It contains the halakha, the laws of the Jews, and more. But there's the Kabbalah, the mystical, the sorcery part of the Jewish religious system that has caused witchcraft to prosper among the rabbis. And of course, now we have everyone from Madonna to Demi Moore. I can't even think of all of the movie stars that are into Kabbalah. Of course, the devil leads them into these Jewish systems of deviltry. Are the Jews, in fact, God's chosen people? Did God choose someone who hates his son? I think not. Well, Pastor Ted Pike explains that, gives the Bible verses so you'll know about it. And then he finally gets a little bit into Palestine and the ruthless killing of innocent men, women, and children for land and resources by the Israelis, who come, by the way, from Europe. They're Europeans. They're Polish. They're Czechs. They're Russians. They're French. They're, well, you get the message. They've never lived in the Holy Land before, so-called. They've never been to Israel. As Helen Thomas said, they're foreigners to Israel. They came there and stole the land, stole the property, and they need to return home. But they won't. Once the Jews have an advantage, they take it and push it as far as they can. The name of the book, Israel, Our Duty, Our Dilemma. 318 pages for $20. Please add $5 shipping and handling. We also have the video. Now, it's a lot like the book. I've always liked books myself. There's so much in a book. You can only get so much in a video. But a lot of people love the videos. They like the graphics, to see the actual pictures. And I'll tell you, this is a great video. And I've seen it myself, friends, a couple of times. The other Israel. Oh, I know. The Israel you hear about in your evangelical churches is one Israel. But that's not the real Israel. You'll want to know about the other Israel. For that video, 60 minutes, DVD, $25. Again, $5 shipping and handling. Now, for either the book by Ted Pike on Israel, just ask for the Israel book, okay? You don't even need to know the whole title. My folks here are, they're so good. They really are. They'll know what you want to order. The Israel book, tell them Ted Pike. Ted Pike, P-I-K-E. The book Israel, or the book of the video, DVD, now, we only have the DVD, the other Israel for 25. So basically, postpaid, it's $25 for the book and $30 for the video. And if I were you, I'd get both of them. And if you have a pastor friend or somebody that doesn't understand this issue, you may want to order another set just for them. But in any case, I'd, as a minimum, invite them over to your house, give them a Coca-Cola or a cup of coffee or some punch or maybe some eggnog. I don't know what you'd give them, but whatever. Sit them down and say, I want a video. I've got a great video here for you. And then have a discussion with them. And I know Ted Pike is like me, and challenge them to go to the Bible. Take down some of the verses Ted Pike gives you and some of the things he says and say, I'm going to be like the Bereans. They were more noble than the others because they checked it out themselves. They compared it with the scriptures. And I think that's what Ted Pike does, and he's right. And that makes all the difference. Okay, to get these, just call us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. It's been the same number for, I don't know, so many years. 25 years, I think. 1-800-234-9673. That'll work in the United States and Canada. If you're overseas, of course, or down in Mexico, well, then the number is area code 512-263-9780. As always, we have these resources by Pastor Ted Pike on our website. That's powerofprophecy.com. Thomas.com. You go there, you can also see his newest article about Helen Thomas, one of the best reporters on the Washington scene, White House press corps. But she went up against it. We're going to talk more about Helen Thomas in a minute with Ted Pike. But you'll read that article, plus many more by Ted Pike, absolutely free, on his website, truthtellers.org. That particular article is on our website, powerofprophecy.com. And then I know you'll want to order the book. Go to the little search engine, type in Israel, and it'll take you to the ads for the books by Ted Pike and the video of the other Israel, okay, that we offer on our website, powerofprophecy.com. Or you can order them at truthtellers.org. And by the way, this is a ministry that Ted Pike has that is very, very worthy. Stopping these hate crime laws, defending our First Amendment rights, our freedom of religion, freedom of press, freedom for you to say whatever is on your heart and mind. And Ted Pike is at the national forefront in this, doing good. So please support his ministry as well. I highly recommend that. Now let's return to our address. Oh yeah, Jerry's, I was just telling Ted, he keeps me straight, and I need to give you our address too to order this book, this video. And remember, you'll get a 6-month free subscription to my newsletter, Power of Prophecy, whenever you order. If you're already on our subscription list, well, we'll just renew it, and you won't even have to ask us. We'll just do it automatically, give you another 6 months subscription if you'll order either one of these wonderful items, Israel, Our Duty, Our Dilemma by Ted Pike, the book, or the video, The Other Israel in DVD. Our phone number, 1-800-234-9673. Our address, Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas. We privately call it the Republic of Texas, but don't put that down. Don't do it. They'll probably investigate you. We don't want to overthrow the United States government. We would just like to have a constitutional system again. All right. That would be Power Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733 in the United States. Now we're going to return. My guest is Ted Pike. Welcome back, Ted.
Thanks for having me again.
Now, you were telling us a little bit about Helen Thomas with Hearst Newspapers. She always sat on the front row at all the presidential news conferences. And boy, she gave everybody from Richard Nixon, even John Kennedy, she would give a rough time. She was sort of neither Democrat, Republican, just truth teller, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was. But on the other hand, for 60 years as a professional journalist, she did not have either the courage or the liberty to speak what she knew was going on behind the scenes. The elephant chamber was so hidden, and everyone was complicit in denying the reality of massive Jewish control, Zionist control of Congress. But now, at the age of 90 years old, maybe with not too many more years to live, she's saying now that she's glad she said what she said back in May. She's saying more. And she says she feels great. She feels very much relieved and pleased with herself that at last she's speaking the whole truth. And it's very interesting. At this conference in Dearborn, Michigan, to the Arab American Association there, she made a number of very powerful indictments, charges against the Zionist control in America. And as you said, maybe we can share some of those. In fact, I think I'll just kind of go through the list I have prepared in my latest article, which, as you mentioned, is available on your website or at truthtellers.org. It's entitled, Who's Spewing Venom? Helen Thomas or World Net Daily. And as we may have mentioned, World Net Daily is joining with the Anti-Defamation League in viciously attacking Helen Thomas. World Net Daily postures as a Christian conservative organization which is opposed to hate crimes laws and homosexuality and so on, but it is absolutely a bootlicker of Israel, endorsing literally every injustice and atrocity that Israel commits in the Middle East. And now when this courageous valiant woman of integrity, comes out and speaks out. Predictably, Joel Farah, the owner and editor, is going after her, claiming that she's spewing poison once again and mocking her and so on. And so in this article, what I do is I bring out about 8 or 10 of Helen Thomas's actual statements, which were censored from the report given just this week by WorldNet Daily.
Yeah, let's do that. I think they're very important. I want to emphasize to our audience, Pastor Pike, here is a woman who was called the dean of the White House Press Corps. 60 years in Washington, D.C. Boy, I bet you know some secrets. And she's 90 years old, still very articulate, sharp as a tack. And she says she's finally free. When they fired her, it freed her up to tell the truth. That's a shame that she had to wait 60 years. But nevertheless, she did, and she paid the price for it by being fired. And by the way, that's not the only thing. I mean, everybody is on her head. And I understand that her alma mater, even, that had given her award for her professional reporting, and she's had many hundreds of awards over the years, Wayne State University, there in Detroit area, in Michigan, exactly where she gave the speech, by the way, they've even renounced the award they gave to her. So she's paying a price, but evidently she's a happy camper now. So tell us what the things that Helen Thomas is now finally revealing the truth about Israel, Zionism, and our nation's capital.
Yes, at this conference in Dearborn, Michigan, she said flat out, and I quote her, "Zionists control U.S. foreign policy." Now, this, everybody knows this, who is capable of thinking and reading the Internet, especially those who listen to talk radio or alternative Internet. But the ADL is loudly screaming that this is a preposterous claim, just as they criticized Mearsheimer and Walt for their epic book, the Israeli Lobby, several years ago. They're going after Helen Thomas. And one of the things that's so disgraceful about WorldNet Daily this last week is that they, even though ADL is out to get WorldNet Daily, and even though Joe Farah says that the ADL would like to accuse him of anti-Semitism and destroy his organization, nevertheless, the WorldNet Daily put up a quote by Abe Foxman to conclude their article, dignifying him as the ultimate authority on what is anti-Semitism and hate crimes. This is absolutely unconscionable what WorldNet Daily did. In fact, I'll just read you a little bit of what Foxman said. He said, "The Anti-Defamation League further called on journalistic institutions that have honored Thomas in the past to revoke awards given to the former White House correspondent. Helen Thomas has clearly, unequivocally revealed herself as a vulgar anti-Semite. This is a final chapter of the otherwise illustrious career. Unlike her previous spontaneous remark into a camera, these words were carefully thought out and conscious. It shows a prejudice that is deep-seated and obsessive." Tragically, WorldNet Daily, which has something like 7 million visitors a month, is now endorsing ADL and standing with ADL in going after this virtuous woman. But she says Zionism, it controls U.S. foreign policy, and she also asserts that Congress is dominated by Zionists. In my recent article, I include documentation showing that each one of these claims by Thomas is absolutely spot-on accurate, can be easily documented. And, for example, concerning Congress, you realize that there are four times more Jews in Congress than the 2% of Jews in the general population. In fact, a whopping 13 Jews, which is 13% of the U.S. Senate, inhabit the Senate with 29 Jewish House members. And so it's very obvious that there's a vast disproportion of Jews in Congress. And Thomas also claims that Jews dominate the White House. And we went to the Jewish Virtual Library online, and I have included in my list here two or three dozen top administration officials and appointees who are Jews. Of course, starting with the Rahm Emanuel, who has just left, and David Axelrod, but a whole list of them. There you can read it in my article, either at Texas website or at truthtellers.org. And I point out, after giving this list of at least 25 top Jews in the Obama administration, I say, what about one Christian? Do we have one evangelical Christian appointed by Obama to a similar top position? And of course we do not. So it's at least 25 dual Zionist Jews in the very highest levels of government at the right hand of Obama, and not a single evangelical. Doesn't that make my point and Helen Thomas's point that Jews dominate the White House?
Now wait, and I'm tongue-in-cheek in asking you this question, Pastor Pike, but, you know, Southern Baptist is the largest denomination in America. I'm sure there's one good Southern Baptist in the entire Obama. I mean, surely one of the cabinet ministers would be a Southern Baptist or Assembly of God or Methodist or something like that? Presbyterian?
No, absolutely not.
All right. Well, you know, I did a whole newsletter on this, and I call it Swindler's List, and I named all of these people. So you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
except for Richard Land, one of the top officials in the Southern Baptists who is now endorsing ADL, people should be aware that Richard Land is bad news for the Southern Baptists. They should boycott him, criticize him, and reprove him, and cause him to recant.
Well, he's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations.
Oh, brother.
And, you know, Richard wrote me some years ago. He didn't like something I said in one of my newsletters. And he wrote me to try to convince me to support and endorse the environmental movement. And he actually said that, you know, trying to correct me of my bad habits, he said, Tex, the environmental movement is going to become the biggest, you know, issue. And I'm here in Washington, D.C., trying to help, you know, grow the Christian community and teach them about this environmental problem. And, but then he went on to say something that's really interesting. He said, did you know that in the Great Commission of Christ, not only are we to save souls, but we're to save earth?
Yeah.
I had no idea that Jesus went out and told us to go forth into all the world and to preach to the trees and the bushes. But but that's what he said. He said the Great Commission has two parts, one to save Mother Earth and one to save souls. And I think that really is a blasphemous thing.
I'm not familiar with any passages in the New Testament which describe Jesus as a tree hugger. Are you?
No, I'm really not, but... I know he was a little bit of a fisherman, but other than that, they probably don't even want him to fish now, the environmentalists. But anyway, I thought that was an incredible thing. And by the way, he went on to give a speech at the Southern Baptist Convention in which he basically stated the very same thing, that the Great Commission had two parts. And of course, if you read the last chapter of the Gospel of Mark, that is just an outright lie. But anyway, back to making your point here. About these people like Joe Farah, who is a big conservative fake, if you want my opinion, at WorldNet Daily, because when you support the Jewish ADL, I mean, you're at the far left wing of the communist spectrum, in my opinion. I'm sure Abe would say he's not communist, but that's my opinion.
Yeah. Now Thomas also says, and I quote her, I can call a president of the United States anything in the book, but I can't touch Israel.
Wow.
I cannot say anything critical about Israel in this country. Now, that's self-evident, because as soon as she made a few syllables of criticism of Israel last May, she lost her position as a columnist for Hearst newspapers. She was basically thrown out of the press corps. She was nationally disgraced and ridiculed, including a very, very fiery attack by Joe Farah back then. And so very, very, very clearly, especially even after this latest round of statements she's made against Israel and Jewish control, here we find her own alma mater denying her. And what ADL and WorldNet Daily are trying to do is what they do in communist countries. When some dissident criticizes the communist regime, then the whole propaganda apparatus tries to make them literally a non-person. Remove their legacy, remove literally their memory from the nation.
That is a perfect example. The Sovietization of America by WorldNet Daily and Abe Foxman at ADL. Absolutely correct.
Yes. Now, Thomas also says that Israel, quote, has Jewish-only roads in the West Bank.
Wow.
She says no American would tolerate that, which would amount to white-only roads in America. And I point out, I said, well, you know, if Abe Foxman thinks this is hate speech to say that the Israelis have the right to Jewish-only highways where the poor Palestinians have to go through the underbrush and through the rocks in order to take their produce to market and can't use the Jewish roads.
Well, hold on just a minute. This is incredible. This is like driving down I-35 here from Austin to Dallas, and you can't get on the road. It says only Jews only.
Yeah, you see, the rights, the Jews always have rights, special rights above the American people, whether it's rights to federal hate crimes protection or rights to immunity from criticism or rights to special paved highways paid by U.S. taxpayers' dollars in Israel and the West Bank. In which only Jews, only God's chosen people can drive on them. They always have these special rights. But what I point out is, I wonder how Abe Foxman would react if the governor of Arizona proclaimed only whites and not Chicanos can drive on certain highways in Arizona. Would Abe Foxman be non-critical of that, just as he's non-critical of Israel?
Well, how about if the roads and the streets of Arizona said, Christians only, no Jews. I mean, that's a sign. That would be more like it. Well, here again shows total hypocrisy by these people. And, of course, they refuse to discuss the merits of what Helen Thomas said, don't they?
That's right. Now, Thomas also says, quote, the Zionists have to understand that it's the country of the Palestinians, too. Palestinians were there long before any European Zionists. What I say in this point from my latest article is that from the time of the final expulsion of all Jews from Palestine, which happened in the 2nd century A.D., Arabs have been the vast majority of inhabitants of Palestine, and it wasn't until 1948 when 800,000 of them were driven out after the Dariusin massacre by Begin's Irgun forces. 800,000 Palestinians, which was half of the population, was driven out, that the vast majority was upset to some degree. But even after that, the Palestinian Arabs have always been the 98% of literally all of the inhabitants of the towns and the small towns of Israel, except for Jerusalem, where there maybe a third of the inhabitants were Jewish. So what she's saying there is, it's outlandish now for the government of Israel to be kicking Arabs again out of their homes in East Jerusalem and out of other parts of Israel where they and their ancestors have literally lived for thousands of years. And I'm talking about even going back to the Canaanites. These people have roots in the Middle East that even were before the arrival of the Hebrews in the 1500 B.C. So that's why it is so unjust for American foreign policy and evangelicals and so on to allow even more expulsions of Arabs, which are going on right now in East Jerusalem and other parts of Israel.
You know, that is so outlandish to think that some Jews, not today's Jews, but Jews of thousands of years ago might have owned some land in that area. And that today's Jews can just go back and steal it and take it and kill the Palestinians if they object. You know, not too long ago, I went to the little town where I was born named Fred, Texas, of all things, just a little burg, you know, along the road. And I got out and looked at the property there. Lo and behold, there's an oil well there where the little house where Tex Mars was born. And I said, well, too bad I don't own it now. You know, my family doesn't own it now.
Yeah.
But in fact, my dad sold it, and it rightfully belongs to someone else now. So I can't go back now. You know, I'm 66 years old. I was born right there on that land. Shouldn't it belong to me? And shouldn't I go there with a machete and, you know, rid the land of these usurpers of my land so I can get my oil? Well, of course not. they would put me in the, you know, as we call it in Texas, the hoose gal for killing those people that live on that land. They've got a title to it. They've got a right to it. But the Jews took the equivalent of their machetes, meaning tanks, guns and so forth, and just stole the land that had belonged to the Palestinians for hundreds and hundreds of years, didn't they? I can't get my land back that was 66 years ago in my family's name, and rightly so, because my dad, you know, sold it. He doesn't own it anymore.
Well, my eschatology, I do believe that God someday will restore believing, repentant, Christ-exalting a remnant of Jews to occupancy of Palestine. But not to the bloody Bolsheviks and Khazars and Christ-hating Orthodox Jews that flooded in the 20th century. This is an abomination. If we go back in the Old Testament, we find God not even allowing Moses to go into the Promised Land because of one infraction.
Wow.
As I say, dozens of verses, and I have those in articles of Truth Tellers, which very clearly lay down God's law that the land of Palestine, Canaan land, was to be a land of promise, a symbol of heaven itself. And it was only to be occupied and enjoyed by those who obeyed God. And how much more true that is even today, where we find that the Jews not only rebelled against Moses, they not only rebelled against the prophets and were expelled, especially in 70 AD after the destruction of Jerusalem, but they crucified the very lover of Israel, their true Messiah, and hung him up to open shame, and they have been rejecting him ever since. And yet, incredibly, in the 20th century, evangelicals bought this Zionist line that God loves the Jews so much that he's going to overlook the requirement of obedience laid down repeatedly in his Old Testament law. He's going to let all of these left-wing, Bolshevik, Christ-hating Jews inciting Arab antagonism and stealing their land and coming in, and we are supposed to bless them as the apple of God's eye without the slightest word of criticism. This is one of the biggest land frauds, biggest ripoffs in the history of the whole world.
Well, I agree with you. You know, and Jesus, of course, in Matthew said that the house of Israel is left desolate until he returns again. Left desolate. It's supposed to be left desolate. And any Christian out there, any Christian evangelical who is helping the Jews to stay in that land, when Jesus said it would be left desolate, they are in rebellion, and that's as a sin of witchcraft. They're in rebellion to Jesus Christ, who said it would be left desolate. I mean, they're fighting God in trying to help the Jews in rebellion to seize that land, and in supporting the Jews in any way. That is against Jesus Christ. And frankly, I have great pity for any Christian who would go up against, rebel against Jesus' edict that's right there in Matthew. Well, you know, we've run out of time. Ted Pike, you've done a great job. We need to get back on. This is such a big issue, and I had so much to ask you, and I probably should have shut my mouth more and let you talk, but I want to thank you so much for being on our program today.
Thank you so much, Tex.
And I want to, Ted, you know, I want to tell people again that they can go to your website, truthtellers.org, and read that entire article that you wrote, refuting World Net Daily. And I want to just say that if we had an award today, I'd probably have two people nominated. One would be Ted Pike, and one would be Helen Thomas. Thank you, my friend, for being on Power Prophecy. This is Tex Mars. Been great to be with you, friends. My prayer is you'll tune in each week at the same time on Worldwide Christian Radio or PowerOfProphecy.com or the American Voice Network. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.